Maxwell family already knew about it. So Epstein joined an already existing structure, but they upgraded because of guys like Les Wexner and Jean-Luc Brunel, because they had modeling agencies, so they could lure the cream of the crop for pedophiles, saying, oh, you're gonna model for Victoria's Secret or Abercrombie and Fitch or whatever, and getting 12, 14 year olds, 13 year olds in, take their passport away, kidnap them, abuse them. And we all know what happened from there, but they had a whole pipeline from Europe, the Philippines. This was international, bringing these kids to the United States and France primarily to be repeatedly raped and passed around. The purpose from the intelligence side of it was to use them as blackmail to spy mostly on the United States for science and technology on behalf of Israel. Israel did not give the green light to rape kids for personal interest, because that doesn't serve them in any way. But here it is written down in a case that was settled and she won, you know? So, you know, there's no way she just made this up, like Dershowitz said, right?
Hi, this is Sarah. Before we get into our regular programming, I want to tell you about the Sheriff fundraiser that we're doing. We're trying to raise $300,000 to educate at least one third of the sheriffs in this country to protect our rights, the rights that are promised to us in the Constitution, and not only to educate them on what their oath of office is, but also on how to go about doing that. If there are more business shutdowns, and more importantly, if there's a mass forced vaccination plan that gets implemented, how do the sheriffs protect our rights? And they need to be ready and prepared to do that. So this educational effort, this major fund drive that we're doing of $300,000 will go to fund this effort to get them educated. So if you have any money that you can donate, and I realize that there are many, many people out of work, but if you do have some money that you can donate to this very important cause, please consider doing that. You can go to sheriffffund.com and donate today. Thank you so much for supporting this important cause. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Ryan Dawson coming to the program. We're going to be talking about the Epstein and just child trafficking and pedophilia and human trafficking in general. But he's been covering this for over 13 years. He has this whole map put out on all the players that are involved with Epstein, both from a trafficking standpoint and a financial standpoint. And I want to tell the authorities here, the YouTubers and big tech, there isn't a single name that we talk about that aren't in the release court documents, that isn't public knowledge. That's something that I request on every show that I do, is that everything I do is top-notch journalism as much as I possibly humanly can. And he is like that too. We're totally on board with every name, and everything we discuss is public knowledge, and it's already been vetted, and he's vetted it, and it's vetted by the court system, and it's public knowledge. So this interview should not be taken down because of any of those reasons, because it is 100% above board and it's great journalism. So I'm just speaking to and pleading with everybody, this is a video and an interview that should stay up and can go against any test that you put it on. So please don't take this thing down. And I also want to tell people that in this really trying time, please try to stay healthy, get your weight down, take C60. It really helps with all the stressors, your inflammation. And I do have coupons for any of my listeners. There's coupons for it on my shop and for my patrons. I also get additional discount on that and Tetragen. Tetragen I love because it helps with the leptin that a lot of people, especially in the Western, in Canada, Mexico, United States, we are not getting the messages to stop eating. That's why so many people are so fat. It's for so many reasons we don't. And the leptin is being blocked. And then it takes a few weeks here. It takes like a month to really rebalance your body. And then you stop having these cravings and hunger and intense hunger. And so Tetragen is just really great for that. And again, coupons for that on my website, and my patrons get a much better discount. So thank you, everybody that supports the program. let's get into this amazing, it's a bombshell interview with Ryan Dawson on everything Epstein and more. And I also want to say at the end, I play his videos that show the map, what he mapped out on all the players that are involved. So hopefully you'll stick for that. There's a two-parter. It's pretty long. There was a lot to cover. So, and if you're listening to this on audio only, please go to my website and you can see his videos there. I'll have those separated. You can go to his website as well and see so much information on that. And I have links to all of that on the show page. So let's get into this interview now with Ryan Dawson. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. It's been suggested to me several times that I come talk to you, so I'm glad we're doing this.
Well, yeah, people say I got to talk to you. You know, I've been covering human trafficking for like 4 or 5 years, but you've been covering it for what, 13 years? And specifically the Epstein story. Can you talk about your background with this and how it started? And then I want to get into some of these recent court documents, what's in them and what's not in them. But what got you going on this so long ago?
Well, I started the Epstein case, we started researching about 13 years ago, but I started researching human trafficking back in the 90s, having to do with Israeli human trafficking. Israel didn't even have laws against it until 2006 because the way Israel was created was trafficking Jews from Europe to Palestine to annex land. And so that was for their own reasons. But because of that, there was a large loophole for sexual trafficking and so on. So.
And then they cleaned it up in 2006, apparently. But are there still large loopholes or?
Not really. I mean, they made the law, but no one has ever, the full extent of the law is you could get 16 years in jail, but no one has ever been prosecuted like that. What they do instead is they prosecute the women who were lured there under false pretexts to be nannies or whatever, and they end up working in brothels. And when they're too old to service people, instead of punishing the people that trafficked them, they punish the women that were kidnapped and say they were illegal immigrants and send them home with no money. And the only reason a law ever got pushed through the Knesset had nothing to do with the victim status of the women. It was because they didn't like how it was changing the majority Jewish demographic. That's how disgusting that place is. So I started there.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, then you started getting, and that started expanding everywhere. Now, my understanding is Epstein is just one of many blackmail rings, but is that your understanding, or is Epstein one of the large, I mean, what did you find out?
Well, these rings are kind of like a chain, because I mean, he's not the first generation to be doing this, and intelligence agencies have been doing this for a long time in the United States. As far as what dovetails into Epstein, Jewish organized crime under people like Meyer Lansky, as well as Frank Costello of the Italian Mafia, had been blackmailing J. Edgar Hoover, who had a secret relationship with one of his G-men, Clyde Tolson. And so when you have blackmail on the blackmailer, you know, you have the FBI's blackmail too. And there were programs that the Federal Bureau of Narcotics set up, like MKUltra, which a lot of people add crazy sauce to, and there's no reason to. It was a real program, but a lot of it consisted of giving people LSD and watching them have sex. These are the kind of insane government programs that they waste your tax money on. But out of that came MK Naomi, which is basically MK Ultra on kids. And from that was the Finders cult in the 80s, what came out of MK Naomi, which really disgusting trafficking of children, runaways, orphanages, and so on. But what Epstein did was a whole nother level. They did in the beginning start out sort of the similar way. They dipped into already established infrastructure at a lot of schools in New York, art schools and girls' schools, and a lot of the same places he would end up donating to, right? The administration and the staff at a lot of these places were already running pedophile rings. The Maxwell family already knew about it. So Epstein joined an already existing structure. But they upgraded because of guys like Les Wexner and Jean-Luc Brunel, because they had modeling agencies, so they could lure the cream of the crop for pedophiles, saying, oh, you're going to model for Victoria's Secret or Abercrombie & Fitch or whatever, and getting 12, 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds in, take their passport away, kidnap them, abuse them. And we all know what happened from there. But they had a whole pipeline from Europe, the Philippines. This was international, bringing these kids to the United States and France primarily to be repeatedly raped and passed around. That was part of it. And that's kind of like when drug dealers dip into their own stash. The purpose from the intelligence side of it was to use them as blackmail to spy mostly on the United States for science and technology on behalf of Israel. Israel did not give the green light to rape kids for personal interest. That doesn't serve them in any way. That's why they threw him under the bus too.
Because they don't care. Yeah. Well, my understanding
did that on his own. Well, they're just dumb goy. They don't care, but they don't want to do that because it risks the rest of the operation that's beneficial to them. So they did get him a one sweetheart deal. Strike two, you're out. And they had Epstein murdered. They just same way as always, plausible deniability. You go to the local organized crime in the area, you bribe your way in, you get rid of him, and you say he suicided himself.
Well, and he needed to be more professional than that, if that's what you call it, in the sense of just do the task we want. Don't use these girls for your own pleasure on a nonstop basis and pass them around for your own benefit. We want you to do what we want you to do. But my understanding in talking to other people back even in the 90s with the Franklin School, they would bring whole truckloads or busloads, if you will, of boys to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. They would do what they want with them and leave. And everybody in D.C. knew about it. I mean, not about everybody, but the majority of them just knew that's what happens there.
They were getting, for that case, they were getting these kids hooked on heroin and other drugs at the time to really discredit them, because back then heroin was like, oh, heroin, it's still a terrible thing, but it was just, oh, you're a drug addict, so whatever you say doesn't matter. You have no credibility. You're just some poor druggie looking for money. And prior to the internet coming around, they had no way of organizing. So as an individual, like kid who strung out on heroin, you had no chance going up against Larry King or any of these Republican. That one was more of a Republican thing, the Franklin Credit Union scandal and Boys Town, Nebraska and all that. That continued on in the Bush Jr. administration. Bush the Lesser and Karl Rove had the Jeff Gannon incident. I guess you're familiar mm-hmm. with that. You can run over it quickly.
Yeah, why not?
Want,
why? But, do it.
And Ted
run over it quickly.
Sure. I mean, so I think that's important because this has to do with nuclear weapons proliferation. So this is how deep this goes. First of all, just because it's just to add some spice to this, Bush's spiritual advisor was Ted Haggard, who's one of these fake Christian evangels that got on TV saying repent and all that. And he was sleeping with a male escort and doing crystal meth together. So that one of the hardest drug there is, and adultery and illicit homosexuality with a prostitute, but it was at least a grown-up. That's how bad things are today. That what's shocking is not that all the rape and disgust. It's like when they're raping an adult and it's heterosexual, like, oh, that's almost normal.
That's terrible.
The things
you're
they've
right.
been doing to kids, babies, etc. You know, it's like the most shocking thing to me was like, oh, it was girls for once.
Yeah, it wasn't a 4-year-old. Yeah, I know. That's why it
right.
But
well, that happened with Mary Kay Letourneau, right? Her family, Joseph Smith, which was the IG in the Bush administration. A baby was rushed to the hospital. This is out of their family. I've done chalkboard videos about this. This is one of the most disgusting things. Human hair was wrapped so tightly around its penis, it was threatening to castrate the child. And they had to do surgery and cut this hair off. Someone had tied hair over and over again on his penis to castrate a baby. And then Mary, of course, raped a 13-year-old boy and got pregnant from it. And do you know what the media did? They're like, look at this hot teacher.
Yes, they did.
Fuck student, you know. And it was like, oh, yeah, you need to look at the rest of their family, because the Schmidt Bush families, you want to talk about organized crime. You've got the father was the DCI of the CIA. You had Neil Bush involved with hookers in Thailand, and you had relationships between the Bush family and the Inagawakai Yakuza in Japan, and just pick something, right? And Trump's very similar, and they're all tied to organized crime, have been since Lyndon Johnson. That's just the way it is now. And earlier I was talking about Meyer Lansky and Costello. One of Meyer Lansky's business partners, the boss of Tampa, ended up becoming the mob boss of Florida. He's sort of the northern-southern syndicates. Traditionally, in Hollywood and movies and stuff, you think of the North as having, you know, the Teamsters in the unions, Al Capone and Hoffa, and the more famous gangsters, the Gambinos and so on, all the five families. It's all New York, Chicago. And then you maybe think about like Vegas and Los Angeles. But during the 60s, the Southern territories became more lucrative for one reason, and that was narco trafficking. It's just basic geography that drugs got to come into the South. And so a lot of the cocaine from Escobar and others, and well, from the CIA and Iran-Contra, were hitting New Orleans and Miami, and then, well, LA's south as well. But so the Dallas territory and the Florida territory, especially because that's where they're doing a lot of black market trades with Cuba, were going through places like Florida. And Santos Traficante he ended up becoming a sheriff even, but Traficante ran the roost in Florida and did a lot of quasi-legal business deals with Meyer Lansky and real estate and so on. But Traficante was a business partner of Edward de Barlotto, and he was, as well as a lot of nefarious characters, but this connects Wexner to them. And through Wexner, Leslie Wexner, by the way, I guess I should say, is part of the what's called the Mega Group. It's a clique of Zionists, second generation Zionists from the Sonnenborn Institute. That the Sonnenborn was a clique created in 1945 with the sole purpose of aiding the Israeli state by hook or crook. And they stole weapons, they stole people, they trafficked in anything they could and did every illegal activity under the sun to procure arms for the future Israeli state. And this continued with the mega group. It went from millionaires to billionaires. But that's how you get the Bronfman family, who's in the mega group. And they're on their third generation now. They got caught up in the Nexium cult, which were branding women and raping kids, you know. But from Seeger's Liquor, that was also all organized crime throughout Canada and the United States. And Lansky seems to be tied to all these people. But this is where they get their money. So Leslie Wexner, though, is tied to so many organized crime figures and who have been prosecuted and thrown in jail. For example, like Frank Welsh. Frank Welsh was a worked with the Teamsters, and he owned a trucking company in New York and a couple businesses in Ohio, and he would do a lot of logistics for Leslie Wexner's company limited. But he had ties to the Philadelphia Mafia, as well as the Genovese family in New York. And Wexner and he shared in Elsh's financial businesses, had the exact same address as Wexner's limited business. And then Wexner's using him. And this guy was caught. He was caught twice. So after Arthur Shapiro was murdered, who was put a pin in that. I'll come around to it. But he had a lot of goods on Leslie Wexner, and he was murdered in 1985. And then Frank Welsh was arrested, I guess subpoenaed in 86, and maybe by 88, it all went down. But he had been working with Vincent Carfaro from the Genovese family, James Ida, who was a bagman for the Genovese, and he had an employee named Carmine Zaccardi, who worked for Welsh. And they had several different scams. They were bribing local Teamsters unions in Jersey City and some other places to get sweetheart deals. And in Philly, what they tried to do was they unionized a warehouse for the TJ Maxx company. Now, TJ Maxx has nothing to do with this, let me be clear. But one of their warehouses, they were unionizing, and then they underpaid their employees and skimmed off the top and were paying the crime syndicate instead. And he made over 79 different bribes between $1,000 to $3,000. And there were co-conspirators that got indicted and One of them you'll know. One was Matt Lanadio. He was a co-conspirator, but the biggest one was Fat Tony, Tony Salerno. And Tony Salerno, of course, had another gambit in New York and New Jersey with Atlantic City, working with Trump. One of the things that they were doing, and the Gambinos were involved with this too, is they always find bottlenecks in businesses, right? Whether it's transportation or the cutters, like the Lucchese family did with the garment district and so on. They'd find like the weak spot in the chain of supply. And this wasn't too different what they did, but Salerno would get the like materials for building projects, whether it was the concrete quick ready or glass for windows, whatever, and he would strong arm or bribe his way through. So anyway, Trump Tower was built that way. And his underlings like Bob Labudi, or go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is that
I get going on mafia stuff. You just got to butt in.
Well, no, and that's the way the construction business works, unfortunately, in these big cities. So if you're involved in that, mm-hmm. it's very difficult to not see that underbelly of things going on. It's almost impossible to be successful without understanding how the business works, right? I mean, and I'm not excusing anybody.
You almost have to. You have to work with one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
because
it's
they
just
play
like,
both sides. They're like, we own the unions, so we're gonna overcharge you, and you know, or else you have to pay them off. And it's just it's
like in Mexico.
It's almost impossible to do a major real estate project in that area without working with one of these syndicates.
Well, yeah.
Right? And it's just easier to do that.
Well, in Mexico, I know that bribing people, you can't do business without bribing people, and getting involved, being bribed by the drug, it just is what it is unless they clean it up. And so you can't really tell a businessman that they're an absolute awful person unless you kind of dive more into what they're doing, because you can't even get things done without it. And I'm not excusing that, because it needs to be cleaned up, but it's almost like there's layers of criminal behavior. And it seems, you know, I always said the mob back in the day looks like angels compared to what they're doing now with children and raping kids and stuff.
They had some standards back in the day.
They
no
did.
Drugs was one of the rules.
Yeah, they had right? standards, and now they have no standards. Mm-hmm. Once you get drugs involved, then all the standards kind of go out. But that being said, my understanding is that even though Trump is involved because he's a businessman in New York, everyone is, and I'm not excusing that, but my understanding is he is trying to clean up this pedophile rings, and there's been more arrested with him than, and I'm not saying they're going to completely clean it out, I'm just saying that.
Oh yeah, oh, well let me, that's what I was getting to actually.
Okay.
So Trump is like, Trump will do, he'll like start a project, say I don't like it, don't pay the people and hire someone else. He'll do white collar crime and all that, and he's kind of a dick, but he's not into raping kids. Like, they got a line, and there have been two factions that are at war right now, and this is kind of like competing drug cartels. I don't want anyone to think they're any good guys, but there is a bad and a worse. And Trump is on the lesser of the two evil teams. And so Trump is very close, obviously, to the Kushner family and Rupert Murdoch and that clique. It's Benjamin Netanyahu and Rupert Murdoch. Now, Rupert Murdoch and Glenn Maxwell's father were competitors. Maxwell had the Mirror. Rupert Murdoch had Sky News. And now he has Fox, etc. And they all do the same thing as Zionist propaganda, etc. That doesn't deviate. But Maxwell and Rupert were at odds, and the Rupert family goes to what's called the Holocaust Builders in New York and New Jersey. I did a whole film about it called Trump's Zionist Ball and Chain. And the Kushners have been caught and convicted of setting up honey traps and sexual blackmail themselves. Charles Kushner, Jared Kushner's father, went to prison and is a felon. I went to prison in 2006 for setting up a honey trap on his own brother-in-law. He also had sexual blackmail on Governor McGreevy, who was a closet homosexual. He introduced him to an Israeli man who wasn't even gay. He just took one for the team. His name was Golan Sapel, and he was cheating on his wife while she was in the hospital. with cancer. I mean, the guy's irredeemable, but you know what happened? He just came out and said, I'm a gay American. And like, oh, you're such a hero. Like that matter, like you're cheating on your wife with a man. And they were obviously bribing him, but they wanted the governor of New Jersey in their pocket because that's the guy that picks the chairman of the Port Authority. And the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is the one that issues out these massive contracts for real estate projects. So if you control the PA, that's your way in to, you know, getting, and that's what Kushner did. He actually bought up a lot of property right across the Hudson River from the World Trade Centers, just in case something happened and every all these businesses would have to move. Like, I don't know, the buildings were physically destroyed in a terrorist attack or something. But, and there was a lot of insider trading, a lot there. I'm not going to go down the whole rabbit hole 9/11 because we'll never get to Epstein, but, that's the Kushner side. So I don't want anyone to think, oh, Trump is great or something. But
well, and let me just say this, you know, blackmail is their currency, right? That's how they all work. That's how they kind of get stuff done. And it looks like Kushner wouldn't bat an eye to blackmail his son's father-in-law. So it's not, you know, and hopefully Trump knows that. But like you said, there's a worse and there's a worser.
It was his sister's husband that he blackmailed.
Okay, well, I think he didn't blackmail anybody at that point.
Christians are evil, but like, yeah.
But what I wanted to say.
That's not Trump. Like, that's like Ivanka happened to marry, right?
Yeah, well, let me just say something. There's worse and there's worser, right? So it's very easy to make the less of the two look really bad in the media, which is what they're doing to Trump right now. Whereas the worser is being shielded. And so that makes me, I mean, people need to wake up to it and say, we the worser are the ones that are going after kids and are human trafficking adolescents and babies and all these things.
Trump fully cooperated with the FBI. He was the only one.
Exactly.
He was the only one that, well, he wasn't intimidated because he was a billionaire too. So he wasn't as afraid as the others, but he's like, he said everything he knew about Epstein.
That's a big deal.
He said the rumors he had heard, and he actually cooperated, and because they did not know he was going to be president in the future. They just thought this guy, he's a reality TV show host. He's burned through money, but he did very well with his Hyatt business, and he did very well with his television show and so on. And so he's had ups and downs in his business adventures, but and now he's the president of the United States. And these people used to make fun of him. He had a bidding war over property with Les Wexner through Epstein. Epstein was buying property adjacent to Mar-a-Lago that Trump owned. And of course, Trump wanted the property next to his so he could expand his properties. And it was kind of a fireside steal because the guy that owned it after Wexner was having to liquidate it because he got in other trouble. So, but Trump just didn't have the capital at the time. And Epstein and Glenn were rubbing his nose in it. But Trump pulled all these things together and just barely outbid him and got the property, which really pissed them off as financial rivals. So, and what Epstein was doing, he was kind of a cutout because there was a lot of money laundering and Ace Greenberg and all these guys at Bear Stearns let him become the fall guy because Epstein was untouchable. So what they realized, Epstein had so much dirt on the prosecution and on the cops and so on that they're like, oh, we need to set up, for example, they set up liquid funding in Bermuda to act as a sort of a subsidiary of Bear Stearns, which would offset toxic assets. To be like in plain language, what happened is they would engage in all these horrible deals of CDOs and toxic securities and so on. So they would be really in debt on their books. But what they did was they'd sell it to liquid funding so that they look like they're not in debt. And then they'd have the rating agency come look at the books and go, oh, it looks like, you know, you're even or whatever. And then on the first of the month, they'd buy them back again. So they're just selling their debts to themselves. And so liquid funding would look terrible, but Bear Stearns would look good. And then after they got cleared by the rating agency, they'd issue commercial paper into money markets, which went into Dreyfus and it went into JP Morgan. They had hundreds of millions of dollars. And then, of course, it was all trash because it was based on junk securities. And then they got false ratings, stole all this money from the third party investors. And then it got worse than that, too, because they didn't even get normal insurance. They did credit default swaps. Which is like having multiple insurances on the same property. In my book, I put it like, let's say you get fire insurance for your house. Probably your house isn't going to burn down, but if it does, okay, that they'll pay for your house. In a credit default swap, what would happen is a whole bunch of people get insurance on your house. So it's like, okay, the insurance company's going to make a lot of money as long as your house doesn't burn down. They've sold, they've gotten money from multiple parties all on the same property. So, but it's very unlikely that property is going to burn completely down. But if it does, you don't just have to pay one person. You have to pay all of them.
Yes. Right? It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's a ridiculous scheme.
But they got away with it because they would involve people like Epstein. They were like, oh, Epstein? Oh, I can't say anything with him because he's got tapes of him raping kids.
I know. He's got, and that's what the FBI has. I know they do because I've interviewed John McDougan, who's in asylum in Russia, and we've confirmed, right? They've confirmed that it was. Now, have you had a chance to talk to him about those tapes?
I actually think he's full of shit. I think those tapes exist. He doesn't have them.
Well, then, but according to Sean Atwood, they went and looked at them, and they looked at seven of them, and they do exist.
I think he probably showed them some porno tapes of whatever, and so they got saw that, and they're so excited about like chasing this down that, you know, these people aren't very famous in the sense of like celebrities. It's like an old guy having sex with girls, kind of generically could look like this CEO or that. So maybe if, I don't know who Sean had look at it, if they verified it, okay, but that Dugan also released a supposed tape that was actually from a porno. Why would you do that?
That's,
you
know, weird.
I have other reasons not to believe them because it went through the normal disinformation channels. I'm pretty good at sniffing out BS. They co-opted QAnon. They co-opted a lot of these things that were right in the beginning, got steered off a cliff. And that's the intelligence agency doing that. It's like, I don't want to put all my eggs in a basket of these tapes in Russia.
No, like, I just know those tapes exist. And I thought he had them. But, you know, if... The thing is,
we know they exist.
We know
the
they
disclosure,
exist.
They're saying, yes, they don't want to show them.
Yeah.
We know they exist. There's a photo album of topless girls that Glenn Maxwell has.
Yep.
And there's also tapes. And she's nude in a lot of them, too. These people are so dumb. Like they said in their arguments, we don't want these specific things to be shown. But now you're admitting that those specific things exist. So even if we never see the photo album or the tapes, we know that they made them. Which is enough. I swear the law is 9/10 intimidation. Like look at Dershowitz saying, oh yeah, I got a massage, but I kept my underwear on.
He's an idiot. Now, okay. And let's bring up Dershowitz because he's making the rounds trying to defend himself. And in those, just in the recent release of documents, it says that he was with Jane Doe number 3 at multiple times and that he was with other underage girls as well. And Dershowitz knew that there were powerful people everywhere that were with underage girls. And he still went forward and did that the clause that they couldn't go after anybody else who was co-conspirators. So Dershowitz, I don't know what the hell he's doing.
He put himself on.
Yeah, and then he went on Fox News with Tucker Carlson and said, he actually said that he didn't even know that that's what was going on with Jeffrey Epstein, even though he defended him back in when did he start defending him? 2008? How could he not know? So he lied there. He lied. There's no way he didn't know if he was his attorney and put this stuff together. So the guy is going around lying. I mean, what is his nobody's going to believe
him. Well, he did a double talk on that interview, right? He said, oh, I didn't know about any of that. And then in the next sentence, he's like, well, that's what a defense lawyer is supposed to do, is try to get them off, right? Yeah. He's a career
liar,
pedophile defender, right? First of all, he's written op-eds himself saying the age of consent should be lowered to 15, maybe 14. That was his own opinion. Everyone knows he defended Roman Polanski, who fled to France. He raped a 13-year-old boy. What a lot of people don't know is he also defended a man named Baruch Levitz, who was another homosexual pedophile rapist, and then also Jonathan Pollard. If there is a spy that did more damage than Robert Maxwell, it was Jonathan Pollard.
So Dershowitz is very connected. He's very dirty. The thing that is,
he's an ADL award winner.
Well, he's a trusted source, so you got to use him. Fox News brings him on all the time. I don't know if CNN and all these other ones do as well. It's disgusting, and it's something you can point at and go, okay, Fox News, you claim to be representing the people, but then you're bringing on people like him. You are just another propaganda arm if you're doing that. And that's what people need to wake up to. And they do have a couple
and
voices
also, even
on
without
there.
This Epstein story, that guy's pure dirt already. You're like, you don't even need this.
Well,
like,
there's so much
on Dershowitz already.
I know, but this one should highlight it for the average person to go, well, wait a minute. I mean, just watch that one interview and know that he was his defense attorney. The average person needs to start waking up that even when they're watching Fox News, I like listening to Tucker Carlson. He does some great monologues and stuff, but then they throw in all these little propaganda pieces. And I'm like, well, if Tucker wants to maintain his credibility, he shouldn't be doing all these propaganda pieces. So what the hell is going on? You know, Sean Hannity, I have no respect for him because he just completely is propaganda. I think Laura is, I think Laura is better. Ingram, she actually, she's not as...
Laura Ingram's a bit better.
Yeah, she's not as bad. So those guys, the only two is Tucker and Laura that actually are saying stuff that maybe you can trust a little bit, but then they throw the propaganda in. People need to wake up to that.
Yeah,
because
Tucker pushed back a little bit on Dershowitz, right? He's like, well, Clinton was there, and Dershowitz saying, no, he just flew with him. He's like, yeah, but he denied flying
times.
With them. Now he admits that he flew, and he says only four times, it ended up being at least 28. He's in the flight logs, and yes, he was on the island, and Dershowitz knows that. Dershowitz is very clever with his words. He kept saying that he didn't rape anyone on the island, that he went there and was brand new with his wife and kids. He's not accused of that. He's accused of raping them in New York. And there's pictures of them going in
and
out
Costa
of the mansion.
Rica.
And there are always little kids there.
And Mexico. Mm-hmm. Multiple places they have them in the documents. I was listening to Glenn Beck. And Glenn Beck is saying that he said Dershowitz is in trouble. But he said that Clinton is even in more trouble. So I want to know why he said that. Because I went through all those documents. And Clinton was at a dinner event, and he had two young girls with him, but they didn't say anything beyond that in those documents. That's as far as it went with Clinton. So what else is on Clinton that is not in those documents that were released just with the Maxwell court case? Because I think there's a whole wave of over 100 more witnesses that are coming forward. And so what do they have on Clinton that Glenn Beck knows and said without getting into details?
Well, you know, he's the former president and would go without his security detail. And even if he wasn't into the kids, we certainly know how he behaved with adult women. Many accusers of rape. And then, of course, he cheated on his wife with Monica Lewinsky. He was only 20. But he still was a witness to it. I mean, there are topless girls at the pool. They're like 15 years old. So even if he wasn't engaged in it because he's not attracted to kids, he knew it was going on and didn't do anything to prevent it. And what's he need to do? Why does he need Epstein for anything? Right? He's the president of the United States. He's got his own mob syndicate going on. So, and Hillary's right in there with them. I talked to actually one of my mom's cousin was a bodyguard for Hillary Clinton, and she had her own lesbian tryst in the White House. So someone's got the dirt on her. Because if I got it, someone else has it. And so the Clintons are being leveraged as much as they leverage others.
Yeah, it's that's their currency. Blackmail is the currency of that world. But my question, because Glenn Beck acted like he is in more trouble than Dershowitz, but he didn't go into detail. I'm like, well, what do you got, buddy, that you won't go into? And it's not in these documents. So I was hoping that maybe, because I know what he does, but I want to see the actual goods on it, the proof, right? And I know we have a lot of proof in other areas, but what about with this Epstein stuff? Because this is actually going through the courts. So is there something? And I don't know. I would like to see that if he was there and he was with underage girls and those two, maybe those two girls that he was with at that dinner party are coming forward and saying stuff, or other are saying stuff, because if he's there, I thought it was 26, you said 28, I mean, it's a lot of times he was there, and that's just what's on the flight log. We know that there's other incidences that aren't on the flight log. So he was there, and my understanding is that this was actually almost like a live porno show for these guys. They go and watch these underage girls doing things to each other as like a live porno show for their entertainment.
With toys and the rest of it. Clinton is too clever to go to dinner with minors like that. He's Slick Willy, right? So he wouldn't, I can't see him doing a maneuver that dumb. But when these guys were doing a lot of this in the 90s and so on, there was no Windows 95. There was no internet. They had total control of the media. It was not going to come out. And they did a lot of sloppy things. And they didn't see that black swan coming where someone like you or myself, or mentioned Sean Atwood earlier, could tell everybody about it, you know? Because I used to write on like AOL Hometown and MySpace, at which I was banned from both, and so on. I've been banned on everything, really. But that's what happens when, you know, when you're over the target, you get flack, right? But it still gets out. They can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Telling the truth, yes.
Exactly. The truth, and this is how we can beat them.
Well, because it's too disgusting.
Lies are very expensive to maintain. You have to repeat them over and over and over again. You just have to hear the truth once because it makes sense. So you don't have to reinforce it all the time. And I want to stress that the documents, we're only talking about Virginia Dufresne's 2015 case that was unsealed. That's not the documents. That's just some.
That's my
and
point.
And it was mostly repeating what was released last year, right, in 2019, where we got George Mitchell and others, some new names. And there were a few new names that came out in this newest release because, and I can't decide if this was stupidity because we're talking about government or being very clever, because they released a PDF and didn't lock it. So you could just transfer that into a text file and the redactions disappeared. So the whole thing's unredacted now.
Oh, it did?
So like Dr. Stephen
I want to see that.
And oh, you have, well, I got it on my website.
I didn't know that. What else is in those unredacted? What other names? Tell us.
Well, it's a lot of people. A lot of them it's the names you've heard, you know, through what Virginia's been saying and others. I mean, she's voiced it, but here it is written down in a case that was settled and she won, you know? So, you know, there's no way she just made this up, like Dershowitz said, right? Because what I'm saying is, wait, listen. What is a child doing on an island with these people who's not their daughter, not their niece, not part of their family, and she can accurately describe the marble walled bathroom of Epstein's Palm Beach and the steam room and everything else, you know, all the way. And we know that's what it looked like because after he was arrested, that's all on film right now. You can see the entire rape mansion. And she knew every detail of all these locations. So she'd definitely been there. And that to me is already kidnapping. Like you can't just, what do you have a live-in masseuse that was 16 and then 17?
Well, she was 15 when it started.
Everything she was saying is true.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Right, right. At Mar-a-Lago.
One of the things that I heard is they said, well, back in the 1700s, this was common day. That's why we think it's okay to reduce the age. Well, slavery was common day too. I mean, it is today, but I mean, we all know it's wrong. So that's not an excuse.
Sweatshop slavery.
Yeah, all that was common day. So something that if it was not so bad, then why are you trying so damn hard to hide it from the media? They know what's wrong. They know what's wrong.
Amputation by Saul. Like he didn't have a choice. Like
yeah. It's incredible. But this is the who's
plus it does this isn't consensual anyway. Like even if you're gonna argue, oh, she's 17, she knew whatever, like they rape them anyway. And it's not just bribing them with money and grooming and all that. There was plenty of just straight up physical rape. Do it or else. You know, Epstein when Virginia Dufresne was forced to sleep with Glenn Dubin, multi-billionaire, by the way, who was cheating on his pregnant wife, right? Here's something. Dubin, a lot of these like hedge fund managers and so on, they're not famous. I mean, like, yeah, Bill Gates and Prince Andrew are famous, but a lot of these people, even though they're rich, they're not household names, right? Robert Kraft, and who got caught, like, they're not, a 15-year-old kid doesn't know who that is, especially without the internet, right? So how would she know who the Dubins even were and know exactly when Ava Dubin was pregnant, right? I wrote it down right after it happened. Like, she knew, and you can look up when they had their first child and figure out, yep, that fits the timeline with what Virginia was saying, because she massaged the pregnant wife in a not sexual way, and then went and slept with her husband on the floor, by the way, and was forced to. Now, Glenn could say, oh, she just wanted to because Epstein told her. You know, they always have a way, but he's a billionaire, so what are you going to do about it? There's not been one peep about Glenn Dubin in the media. It's always Clinton, Prince Andrew, Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. They're not going after the money. They're not going after Wexner. They're not going after Dubin. They're not going after the Bronfmans or Ehud Barak or Omar Barak. There are prime ministers from Israel. There are other royals besides Prince Andrew. There are a lot of high-level government officials from Spain.
Do you know the other royals?
They're Spanish. I believe I know, but I from deduction. Keep, but
okay. That's fine.
I don't want to get sued. So
we don't want the video taken down unless, I mean, if it's a name that's in the court document and we can say this is, we can say it, then we can say it.
Plus, what if I'm wrong? That would be horrible. Somebody would get
exactly
wrecked over nothing. So
that's fair.
Yep. When I made this map, and there, I could have added triple the number, but I needed it. It needed to be like either something verified in court or something for sure had been accused by a victim, eyewitness, et cetera, that was involved in it. So, and it goes over the financial crimes too. We know that.
This map is incredible. I'm going to play this video for people at the end so they can see it. If you don't mind, I'll replay it for them. You did such phenomenal work.
That video is dated. Oh yeah, it's a lot to digest because I feel like it's hard to know what people don't know. So I'm trying to think, like, if you only watched Three Letter Networks or whatever, all you'd really know is Prince Andrew and Clinton and Trump and, like, generically businessmen and professors or something like that, right? No details, no real names, but we got details and names. And you didn't really have to wait for this document dump because there already was a document dump about last year this time that covered most of the same material, except it actually was redacted. This time it was redacted, but not really, because we got the whole thing unredacted. And I called that. I said, trust me, we're going to be able to unredact this. I won't reveal ways and means, but I knew that was coming. I also said she wasn't going to make bail. And I also said that Maxwell was hiding in the northeast part of the United States. So I'm still batting 1,000 on that.
Yeah, you're doing great. Well, do you think she'll make it out alive?
No. I want to be wrong think she about will that either. One, but she's not going to make it.
I don't think she will. No.
COVID.
And then they're gonna act like, yeah, and then they're going to act like she committed suicide or something stupid. I mean, we just can't trust these guys at all.
She died, but she died of the China virus.
Oh yeah, they'll do that.
She's doing all the dumbest steps right now. First, the lawyers and the jail are going to milk her of all of other people's money because she's got plenty of sugar daddies, right? They'll bleed her dry and they'll get rid of her. It is harder to do a hit in the women's prison. And it's also what makes this the most difficult is they already got Epstein. So many eyeballs are on this that if she, you know, hangs herself or whatever, she's wearing paper clothing to prevent that. The reputation of so many other people are at stake here. And they're like, I don't care what the warden retired and they got a new one. They're like, I don't care what she offers you. We'll counter offer. You got to keep her alive. And the great thing is the president of the United States hates her. I know she said, oh, I wish her well. I found out finally that was a smart ass remark because that's what she said to him back when, quote, he's crying under the covers because he has no money. She went to bring him lunch just to gloat, to see him in misery because they enjoyed that. But he bounced back, right? So he wants them to fry. And he's like, yeah, I wish her well. But that's a Judas kiss because he doesn't wish her well. Or they would just be like the deal they had in Florida. I mean, why arrest them in the first place at all, right? Oh, because of the Miami Herald? No. It's because they finally, you know, Obama's out, Trump's in, and he hates these people. Now, he hangs out with some jerks himself, but, you know, but they're not as, they don't rape kids as far as I've seen.
Well, and there's some lines here. If you do drugs and you rape kids and you destroy, that's going to destroy. He's a business guy. And so
he's also he's an American nationalist.
Yeah. And so in order to have the United States be strong, to make money and to have power, you can't have drugs and children being raped and destroying our families. You need a strong economy and you need healthy people. And he knows that that's deteriorating the health of his people. And so a good business guy doesn't want that. Even if they're creepy in other ways, the reason you don't want drugs and raping children is it destroys everything. And ultimately will destroy their base.
He's had five children of his own who are all doing well. That's an accomplishment in itself. And most people have empathy for children. Like it does for just a basic, anyone that's not a psychopath would not want, you know, organized international pedophilia. And so they're finally clamping down. The amazing and disgusting at the same time thing is how widespread and rampant this is. Because if you look at Virginia's testimony before Epstein, she was already being passed around.
I know, I saw that.
There are a lot of wealthy billionaires, maybe, you know, 100 millionaires, whatever, are raping poor women. They just lure me, yeah, here's $200, do it, whatever. And
that's how they knew to get at her, because they knew that she was already being passed around. And one thing I read in that was really sad is this millionaire, I don't know, with Ron, I don't remember what his last name. He was the one that was passing these girls around. They like to see them have pain.
Played with their hair and said, "I'll be your new daddy."
Yeah, but the thing that really disgusted me is that they like to see these girls in pain. And that to me is an indicator of how sick this is. These young girls.
He violated her at 13, raped her on the bed after forcing her to do fellatio. And it's just like, you're trash. And he's like, okay, I've gotten your virginity and all. I'll pass you off to another buddy, right? And then I think she went to Charlie next, and then Epstein. And just, I've seen this. I had a friend who actually spent 11 months in jail in the UK for investigating a pedophile ring in London. And it was just something he stumbled on. He was so messed up when he got out of jail and everything, but he showed me how bad it is. He's, let me show you something.